It's Jared and Katie in the morning on the number one hit music station, 107.5 KZL. On the phone with us, official attorney of Jared and Katie in the morning, Lisa Lanier. She has offices statewide. She's real easy to contact, 1-888-CONSULT, or go to 1075KZL.com, keyword Lisa. And especially if you're injured on the job, she can definitely help.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, we want to jump into our first story. We talked about it on Monday, I believe, and it was a lady who told all of her friends that her son had cancer. She even told her son that he had cancer in order to get donations from them.
What an awful person.
And, she was found out and was since arrested. And I think she raised like $3,500. But it seems like this is not uncommon, people setting up fake charities.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you see it happen pretty often. Like you walk into a restaurant or a convenience store and there'll be a little cash jar there, you know, and a little picture, a little story about some sad thing that's happened. And unfortunately, bad people like this lady will take advantage of the kindness of strangers and, you know, will do this sort of thing. In terms of an actual charity, if it's a legitimate nonprofit type organization, you can actually do research online, because even some of those charities, big national charities, don't actually get the money to the intended recipients. A lot of them, majority of the funds will go toward administrative costs and that sort of thing. So before you donate, you can actually research the charity online. There are several watchdog groups that will actually rate the effectiveness of charities. And it's a good idea if you're thinking about giving especially a substantial amount of money. Like in this situation, though, people were just dropping like $5 in there, but it really added up.
And that's good to know.
This woman was, it's so terrible. I just wanted to bludgeon her.
I know. Me too.
And it's good to know that you mentioned that there are watchdog groups that will go to the websites to make sure that they're legit, because these crazy people, these sick people, will even go to great lengths to set up a fake website.
Oh, yeah. And like this woman, she told this poor kid, you know, that he was dying of cancer. It's horrible. He's 9 years old, and the officials that are involved in the case are saying the kid is traumatized because his mother told him he was dying. You know, and now his mother's been charged with a crime because this is fraud. You know, and like if this had happened in North Carolina, because it involved over $1,000, it would be a felony. And she's actually facing child endangerment charges because she's endangered his welfare, particularly in a mentally abusive kind of way.
On this program, we like to say that's a one-way ticket to hell.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Now, Lisa, let me ask you
this.
Somebody
needs to kick her behind.
She's getting angry. Watch out.
Let me ask you this. Now, for example, let's say if this lady were just telling her friends, you know, my son has cancer, and then they just, out of the kindness of their hearts, gave her money. I mean, that's still fraud, though, if she's lying about it.
If she's doing it with the intent to induce others to give money, I mean, that's, you know,
okay.
if she's just like, you know, there are those people that have that, I think it's Munchausen disease, where they get their jollies from, you know, telling people that they have illnesses that they don't have, and it can involve a child by proxy, and they get their jollies telling people that their child is dying. And so if she had a sickness like that and she wasn't doing it to induce people to give money, then that would be a different story. But this lady was just out there trying to get money.
Mm-hmm. Even her own mother said that something inside of her brain just snapped.
But she's just a bad apple. We're talking to our official attorney, Lisa Lanier. She has offices statewide. Our next story is shocking, and there's video that goes along with it. A couple went to the hospital. They said their five-month-old had flu-like symptoms. They didn't like the treatment that the baby was getting. Something about they gave the baby the wrong medication. They didn't feel comfortable. So they said, hey, you know what? We want a second opinion. Now, they didn't check out properly at the hospital. They just left.
Okay.
But they went to a second hospital, and they did a check on the baby, said the baby's fine. You can go home. Next thing they know, the cops are knocking on their door, come inside, and take the five-month-old baby out of the mom's arms and leave.
Oh. Terrifying.
And now they're going to sue. So what are all the ramifications of something like this?
Well, you know, normally, under normal circumstances, any health care worker has a duty to report a child endangerment. And so if there was a real situation where someone was depriving a child of necessary medical treatment in a life-threatening situation, then they would have been totally appropriate to have made this report. And all 50 states have given social services the ability in an emergency to come in and take a child. And then they have to promptly have a hearing to see if that's legitimate. The problem here is that it sounds like, from all the facts that I've read, there was not really a life-threatening situation. Instead, it was more of a situation where the parents lost faith in the hospital because there had been a medication error,
right,
and they wanted a second opinion. The hospital wouldn't discharge the baby, saying that there was a life-threatening situation, so they just left. They took the baby and left. So whenever you are trying to check out of a hospital and they don't want to let you go, it's considered AMA against medical advice. So it makes the parents look like they were endangering the child. But I think as the facts are playing out, there really wasn't a dangerous situation, and the baby wasn't about to be harmed or anything. So I think it's just a hospital retaliating against these people. It sounds terrible.
Has the baby, I haven't read the story in full, has the baby been returned to the family?
I think last
right
I
now,
saw.
Okay, good.
Oh, go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah. Well, I think right now, but there's still, the crazy thing is, once a family gets social services involved in their life like this, they're having, like, I think, still some kind of supervision and that sort of thing. And I think they did get the baby back, but they're not finished. I mean, they're still having to be supervised and that sort of thing. And it's absurd.
Yeah, the cops would have to bring out the stun gun on me.
I think that they would be glad
not
to do
handing
that
over my kid. Well, not, yeah. Now, the thing, though, so you're saying, though, even in North Carolina, for example, if I took my son Eli to the hospital and they were like, no, you can't leave, and I'm like, well, I want to go somewhere else, and they're like, no, we don't recommend that, they could still come and take the child away?
What would happen is if there was a life-threatening situation with Eli and you were, and where you really see this playing out is where people have religious beliefs,
right,
say that, you know, prevent the child from having, say, a blood transfusion, and the child really needs a blood transfusion or the child's going to die. In those situations, you will see a report made to DSS. You'll often see, you know, if you check that child out, you would see the child be taken into protective custody, and then a judge would have to decide if the child could get the blood transfusion or not. And so you actually, you know, those are, when there's a true life-threatening situation, it makes sense. But I think the problem with the whole system, and there are flaws in every system, but people abuse it. And you hear lots of reports of people making, particularly where there's a custody argument going on between two parents, and, you know, one of the grandparents or even one of the parents will make a false report to DSS, or, you know, or somebody's mad at somebody and they make a false report to DSS. And these people have a duty to investigate this stuff, and they don't know it's false, and it really wreaks havoc on these people's lives.
Gosh, I feel bummed after our stories today.
Yeah.
They were kind of downers.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, as always, you do an excellent job. But
you're not the bearer of bad news. It's just the law is the law.
Well, yeah, I mean, having your child taken away is never exciting. I mean, unless you're just annoyed with your kids.
Right, which I've heard happens.
It does happen.
The upside is that the law does protect children. I mean, you know, in most situations, it's a legitimate call and there's a legitimate need. It's just once in a while, any system can be abused, and particularly where the law in these custody situations can kind of disregard your Fourth Amendment rights for a little while and come and, you know, enter your home. And the courts are kind of split on that. You know, if they come knocking on your door, normally they have to have a warrant and you're protected against warrantless searches. But in these situations, there's an emergency that's considered in most places to override that. And so it's one of the few exceptions where you can have, you know, where you have to give these people entry to your home.
And you can't ignore them like you do the Mormons or the
how dare you?
The others that come knocking on your door with pamphlets.
They're coming by with good news, with the good news,
okay.
And then you open the door and they take your kid.
Right.
Somebody else takes your kid. We're not taking your kid.
We're speaking with Lisa Lanier, the official attorney of Jared and Katie in the Morning, president of the Lanier Law Group, 1-888-CONSULT with offices statewide. If you are injured on the job, hire the best. Thank you, as always, Lisa Lanier.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.